Just in case you didn't know, the gray cat with the black stripes that keeps trying to come to church is mine. He's a stray that I found end of March. I've come back home from a wake, and I heard something in the cemetery. He's going meow, 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 and it happened to be him. Very friendly and affectionate, so of course I fed him, and that's it. And he's been here ever since. So he is a Catholic, so it's okay if he comes inside church. We prayed in the opening prayer, Lord, help us to reject what is contrary to the name of Christ and to pursue all that does honor to his name. The name Christos, given to Jesus, as I've said before, means the anointed one, Christ anointed by the Spirit to bring good news to the poor. Jesus, as we know, is the second person of the Holy Trinity. As the Son of God, the Father loves the Son loves the Father, and that love exchanged between them is the Holy Spirit, who guides all that we do and is shared with us from the Father and Son, poured out upon us to make us anointed as well. Anointed by the Spirit in baptism and confirmation, the Spirit's there guarding our hearts and our minds, guiding us into union with Christ more deeply every day, so that we can reject all things that are contrary, not just to the name of Jesus himself as the Christ, but also what is contrary to our lives as Christians, men and women, young people who bear the name of Christ by our baptism, by being confirmed in the Spirit. It's, as Scripture says, to always follow the Spirit's lead in all things, to hear the Word of God, but to make Christ manifest in who we are and what we do, pursuing everything that gives honor to the name of Christian. In the Old Testament reading from Isaiah, the Father says, my word, that is the Son, shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. That word also becomes a seed planted inside each and every one of us. Through baptism, Christ comes to dwell within us. We know that, and wants to be seen more manifestly by us changing our lives to be more like the life of Christ. We think about Jesus as the Word of God made flesh. He did not return to the right hand of the Father in the end void. Jesus came to fulfill what the Father asked him to do, to suffer, die, and to rise, and to restore communion with God for you and me. He achieved that out of obedience. Was it easy for him to do? No. Jesus did the Father's will. In fact, he said that, I came to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. We know that the night before Jesus was crucified, he's praying in the garden saying, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass me by, but not as I will, as you will. He understands that his sufferings will bring about salvation, grace, and peace. And it happens. He achieved the end for which he was sent. What about us? You and I have been sent by God with a mission, as Christians, to sanctify the world, to sanctify our lives, to be holy, and to bring holiness to the world. St. Paul reminds us that you reap what you sow. What you put out there in the world will always come back to you. If we reap in faith, if we reap in grace, if we sow, rather, in grace, if we sow in faith, we reap a bountiful harvest of good things, things that come from faith, things that come from grace. If, however, we live simply according to the flesh and sow the seed of corruption, then the harvest that we have is corruption and death and all the things that accompany it. But God says for us to produce good fruit, fruit that will remain. And thus the seed is given to you and to me. The seed comes from God, but you and I provide the fertile soil, the soil that must be fertilized by the Word and by the sacraments. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. We know that. He comes to bring grace by us listening to the Word of God and by bringing it into completion by how we live. It comes by the Word becoming flesh to us in the Eucharist, the Eucharist itself becoming a seed planted in us that may live and flourish, that we become more like the Lord. Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. That's not a pleasant thing for us to think about. And St. Paul reminded us a couple weeks ago, all of us baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death. that sometimes we're going to have to die to ourselves. We're going to have to suffer for the sake of grace, for the name of God. It may not be some kind of a physical painful suffering, but it can be an interior painful suffering as we bear that good fruit. It's not easy to live a holy life in the midst of people who don't want to be holy. It's not easy for us to live a Christian life in the midst of a world that is anti-Christian. But yet the seed is scattered, and God wants us to be fertilized by prayer and by grace to produce that good fruit. As in the gospel imagery, the birds will come to snatch the seed away. Demons, temptations come, trying to pluck away that seed that's given to us and carry it away. The thorns will come up as we're trying to grow in our faith. Our sinful inclinations, worldly concerns, desires, passions, temptations for all things that are not of God, those things come and choke the life of grace within us. Or sometimes we simply wither because we lack roots. You all know this. We live in a very superficial society where everything just on the exterior becomes important. The clothes you have, the possessions you have, how you look, that kind of thing. There's no depth to a person's interior, but this is where you and I as Christians have to be different and make that difference. It's by being people of depth. And how do we do that? It's recollection and prayer. Not to allow yourself to be scatterbrained, not to be pulled in all kinds of different directions, but to keep the focus, which is always Christ. To keep the cross always in the forefront and knowing that everything that we do is being offered to God through the Son in our own personal sacrifices. It's union with Christ in prayer, offering up everything. Daily prayer. Going to Mass, receiving the sacraments and being prepared for it. Taking a few moments every day to be in silence, which I know may not be easy with kids, with spouses, with work and things, but to try to find at least a few minutes every day to kind of keep things focused. And to think. Think before we speak. Think before we act. Is this a good thing I'm about to do? Is it going to be beneficial? Why am I doing the things that I do? To actually have a meaning and purpose to our lives. Nourishing everything with the sacraments, with reading scripture, with reading the lives of the saints or their teachings, some kind of spiritual reading, and also finding guidance. Talk to somebody you know who lives the faith well. Ask for advice. Have good spiritual friendships, people who are actually going to make you a better person and bring you closer to God, not those who will draw you away from the Lord. Spending your time with wholesome leisure, wholesome entertainment, not mindless things that turn you into zombies, but things that really nourish your heart and your mind, your soul and your faith. Again, that makes you a better human being and a better Christian. To show good sportsmanship and to pursue beneficial and productive hobbies, so on. Anything that makes us better is what Christ wants us to do, to nourish that ground and produce good fruit. The rocky ground, the thorns, all these things have a need to be cleared away. There's a need for sacrifice, allowing God to plow and clear away all the destructive worms, the insects, the weeds, debris, anything that prevents the fruit from being produced. So if suffering does come, in whatever form it comes, if you find it hard and difficult to live a faith-filled life and it becomes a challenge, that's okay. If other people pose a challenge, if the struggle is real, that's fine. That's God breaking the ground. That's God clearing the way. That's God allowing good things to happen when suffering produces that fruit, and it will. To wrap up, as St. Gregory the Great would put it, when our love for this present world dies, as it should, the sufferings will increase. That's why the good suffer. Our love for the present world must die, our love for Christ increase, and so will sufferings, so that Christ may purify us and make us whole. Be detached from anything unholy. Detached from anything unholy, or even if it's something good that we hold in too high value above God. Ask yourselves, am I as much concerned with my spiritual well-being as I am with my material well-being? Am I just as concerned about living with God forever in heaven as I am about the things here on earth? Keep in mind what Jesus says, where your treasure lies, so does your heart. So correspond to grace then. Correspond to God's grace. Bear good fruit. When you find yourselves being more charitable and loving toward others, when you see a little bit more joy in your life, when you find yourself becoming more peaceful, when you can exhibit a little bit more patience and kindness, when there's more goodness coming out of you, when you find yourself being a little bit more generous to other people, a bit more gentle and faithful to God, When you find yourself modest and not proud, when you can actually control your thoughts and your actions, when you're living with the right frame of mind, seeing all things in the good light as God intended, then you see that you are living according to the anointing you received. You are a Christian. Christ is living more fully in you. My dear friends, to be fully human is to be fully divine. To be truly human is to live in the image and likeness of God, united to Christ. So when the fields are bursting with new life and the church is filled with an increasing flock, when the valleys of the earth are blanketed with the virtues practiced by God's holy people, know that all creation shouts and sings for joy.